Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Before we start talking about that, I just
what's all of this? Come on, Tree Man is hiding on some TLC.
No, it's dark.
Digging with me, digging with you.
Just said a big honourable shout out to Shenseea because she is probably one of the most top tier, sensational looking women in the world. I have to say.
Oh wait, have you started?
Yeah, can the lights come on, please?
Come on, man, please.
No, the cameras are recording.
The cameras are recording with Man in the Dark. Nah, yeah, man, that's not my story.
EA was trying to do. EA was trying to go for a little bit more of a cinematic intro, innit? Right. He was trying to do something different, innit?
Nah. That didn't see
feel,
my wife and
that
kids.
That didn't feel right.
That didn't. My wife and kids used to just start.
Yes,
no intro,
exactly.
We're there. We're here now.
Was you really trying to think?
No.
He was trying to think.
He was trying to think. Yeah, exactly.
Shout out Shenseea though, and shout out Leah Abbott doing all her styling. Leah, my G.
Oh, is that the one who was in the Jamaica when I was out there?
Come on, man. Yeah, man. You know Leah's thing, man. She's too cold at it, man.
She was out in Port Antonio living a great life. Let me tell you something, yeah.
Yeah,
Port
she
Antonio,
was outside.
Sides there. Uh-huh. Have you been to Port Antonio before?
That's where my family's from.
Is it, yeah?
Portland, Port Antonio.
Port Antonio is absolute. I tell people, yeah, listen, if you...
Can you deport Antonio, big man? Look, you just bent over in front of man and it's just...
I'm working, bro.
Come on, man. This wasn't in the contract.
Sometimes it just gets in the way.
I didn't sign up.
I didn't fly all the way back for this.
Come on, man.
We're meant to
throw money now.
You lot have changed, man.
Who?
What's this? What's going on here?
But, see?
You lot have changed.
Come on, fam.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. No. But Port Antonio, if you're going to Jamaica, yeah? Like, and you're not, let's say for example now, you're a person who goes to a country and you do the resort stuff and whatever, that's fine, yeah? I'm saying, when you go to Jamaica, try not to do that. And if you want to be somewhere and you know that you're going to be safe, even though Jamaica is safe anyway, because the places that you're going to go to in the hood, you don't need to go down there. Uh-huh. So you're all right anyway. Go to Port Antonio.
Mix it up that side.
Yeah. Mix it up.
Up
there is proper. Sceneries, food, the places you could stay. It is a little bit out, but it's cool. You could always get a car to, you know what I mean?
Come on, something. There's vehicles.
Then you can move.
There's vehicles. The Chinese made better roads. We can shout out to Chinese. I'm for the Chinese right now. They bodied Great Britain that you showed us. So I'm for the Chinese right now. I'm rating their thing.
Yeah, showed us that.
I'm rating their thing. Stay in Jamaica, man. Keep the Chinese in Jamaica.
Okay. And they're gonna get on to you for that. Clip that.
Nah, man, get him out. But keep him in.
Hey, Slick's with us as well. Yeah. Dubai Slick. Dubai Slick.
Shake Slick.
Yeah, Shake Slick. That's it. Yeah.
Come on.
Shake what your mama gave you, my guy.
How's it been over there, bro?
It's good, man. Life is good. Can't complain.
I feel like you're giving a diplomatic answer. Life this is like we're not at the radio anymore.
Life is great.
Is it really great?
It's very good.
That is crazy.
Poet don't believe you.
No, I do. I just want to hear more.
You don't? Do you not believe that it's great
in Dubai?
It's definitely great.
Is it great?
It's great.
It depends what you like, innit? It wouldn't be great for me per se, right. But I think for someone else,
nah, it would be great for you as well.
You think? I don't think it'd be great for Poe.
You can find. I think Poe. I think Poe will like the greatness.
I think he'll like it more than he thinks.
Thinks
he
that's like. What it is. He'll yes. definitely like it more than he thinks he. But will. Then, I think that, he has a everyone has the perception of Dubai.
No, it's nothing to do with that. I think it's to do with what I'm required.
Okay.
I'm required.
Okay.
I need to be in the hood. I need to have culture around me. I need to feel as close to Jamaica as possible. And the only thing that makes me feel like Jamaica in Dubai is the sun.
Nah, we bringing it there. We're bringing the vibes. Different.
Huh?
We're bringing the vibes.
Sorry, let me just interrupt that bit. The vibes, that sun there is different, though.
That, but the sun is very different.
It's crazy.
It's not.
It's a mad thing.
But it's not tropical sun.
Yeah, it's though. Not tropical.
It's a mad thing.
It's
sun.
Just hot.
Yeah. Desert sun.
Yeah. Yes, that's
desert
different.
Sun. That desert sun's crazy.
Mayhem.
Shout out Moses.
That sun is probably more closer to British sun when it gets too hot, if you know what I mean. Stuffy only that there's a bit sun. Open. Yeah. It's a bit more of an open space. But it's not tropical. It's not yard sun or Barbados sun or. Hawaii sun or whatever, but honorable shout out to Dubai still.
Come on.
But yeah, you good though, other than that.
Yeah, yeah, man, I'm good, man. I'm good, I can't complain, bro.
Here for a couple of days.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Come check the man then.
Poet, how are you, bro?
Fam, shout out R&B Slow Jams. Oh,
you came, man. I didn't even know you was there. You
in
the group.
Come on, I was in there.
You know what I like about Poet? Let me tell you about Poet very quickly.
I didn't even see.
Poet is actually... Poe is actually amongst, I would say, like my other close friend Benny, yeah, two of my most low maintenance friends when it comes to just going out. Like, the man will just pull up and I might not even see him. Yeah. He's just there doing. It's not. Poe, you're always going to get a wristband when you come in, usually, anyway. Did you get a wristband?
They looked after me nice.
Right. But even if you didn't, Poe will just go and do his thing.
Yeah.
Enough times, you see when you're doing a dance and that you got this one coming because they didn't get a wristband. Yeah. That one didn't get in. Yeah. This one's passing you a phone with a message on it. This one, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I could be in a dance for 4 hours, in a big dance. I might not even see Poe. He's just there just doing his thing.
Come on, you're crazy.
Low maintenance.
Crazy. The bar situation. Did you?
Yeah.
I was at the top. Shout out Matthew. Showed me where to go. Went to the top. Quite nice. Chilled out. Shout out Anthony Joshua in there doing his thing. Mm-hmm. Dance all came on and he lost his head. I said, yeah, the real Anthony Joshua is back. But I just, man, the vibe was just so... The one thing I will say is this, people, and I want to look in the camera. I understand the term VIP does make it seem like there's bare things going on. But not an Agwan. The most thing you get is convenience. But if all of you lot step over there, then we've lost convenience.
Yes.
There was a point, where the bar downstairs, it was quicker to get a drink than VIP. Well. And I'm saying to myself, so does everyone just want to come into VIP because them just want to feel very important?
Mm-hmm. It's just a title. Always.
It's just a title.
It's just a title. And the maddest thing is that like, I say to people all the time, more time, the VIP isn't where it's happening.
It's never where it's happening.
No,
it's never where it's happening.
Backstage is not where it's happening.
No.
Where it's happening is down there.
Yeah.
That's where it's happening.
It's crazy.
I'm telling you, that's where it's happening.
And it doesn't matter even your profession. Sometimes you can throw in the whole, brother, in R&B, everyone's just minding their business. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get love. Naturally, there's love in there. Brother gonna... And it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good vibe. You don't have to worry about nothing inside that dance. It's, come on. Jermaine Defoe, I think, turned up again.
Who?
Jermaine Defoe.
Oh, you came?
Pause, but I hear you. That's crazy.
I didn't think that was happening.
So, man. I just shout out the man them having a good time at R&B, man, in Wembley, man.
I've been up to Jermaine Defoe for pulling up still.
He's pulled up before?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, because I remember you asking about him like coming through, but I didn't see him.
Well, he pulled up to the one in Coco. Not Coco, the one in
Alternate.
In Camden. Where's
Coco.
Oh, no, Camden. Not Coco.
Roundhouse.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, man.
I was going to be there for a minute, boy, because I was not getting Yeah, man. He pulls up, fam. So, shout out to the man, them having a good time. Really, really good time.
Let's talk. I didn't discuss it with you quickly.
Yeah.
Future, I know, is your guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Future Stan. Another Future Stan.
Very important person.
So a little time has gone by.
His VIP has no one in it, just him.
Quickly, like, gonna summarize thing, like, what was your feeling about how this whole thing sort of has played out so far in regards to your guy, Drake, Kendrick? Is there anything that you've seen in it that has been either alarming to you, interesting to you? Do you even care?
About Drake and Kendrick, no. I hope it happens. If it don't, I won't lose no sleep. I care about Future, and I like the way Future came back, because I remember Future's last album, and one of the biggest moments on there is Drake, Thames, and him. That's one of the biggest moments on there.
Yeah.
Didn't it win a Grammy or something like that? And then like flowers were sent to Thames's house from Future, or there was loads of things that happened around that moment. So I'm thinking them and are cool. So, I like the fact that he said, you know what?
Fuck my man.
Let's start off by my, because he's releasing another project.
Yeah.
And it's like, before we get to the main, let me show you how I'm starting this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to give you the main right now. This is the starter. The starter is, fuck Drake.
Yeah, I don't trust you.
We don't trust you.
No confusion.
And by the way, just to let you know, we've gathered in other individuals have also that don't trust you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple of your questions. Weekend, don't trust you.
Yeah.
Rick Ross, don't trust you. Yeah. All down to Nav. No one even asked him to get involved. Yeah. Nav just said, you know what? I don't trust him as well. I said, you know, I kind of like this. Why not show your intent? And even the way it was, it's like it was that Rick Ross in the whip just listening to Kendrick's verse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, we knew Kendrick don't trust him. Anyway. Kendrick probably don't even trust Future to Chris. So, but I like the way Future decided off the year and just said, look, this is the way I'm going to come into the new year before I drop my real project. We don't trust you. And even just the features, like, I'm sorry, the Weekend, when people were confused about whether Drake could, because Drake always seems to make a point to let people know where him and Weekend's relationship's at. Mm. And Weekend don't really do much of, from what I see anyway.
Yeah, quite quiet.
But he didn't say nothing this time, but he said a lot, because he jumps on the We Don't Trust You project. Even down to there's an event happening in the summer now, I think it's in July, I hope to be there. I think it's the 6th of July
in
Miami. In Miami, where... No, it might even be closer than Miami. What's it? It's in April, where Metro Boomin is headlining, and guess who the main support act is? Party Next Door. Now this, to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my brother, this is big facts. So when I'm seeing all of
Party
these-
Party Next Door still signed to Drake, though?
Brother, in the picture, and he's wearing an OVO chain, fam. I'm just saying-
I just live and do, man.
Metro Boomin, for me, the way he has orchestrated this plan, it's just incredible, fam.
There is definitely something interesting that has happened with Party Next Door and that whole team, as far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Of course.
Because, let's have a look here. Yeah, so Party Next Door has got a project out called Real Woman. Well, it's not a project, it's like an EP. There's 3 songs on there. And it's still on OVO Sound. But... something's not right over there.
Something's not right, bro.
Also adding to the fact that you know, we never really hear Party Next Door speak anyway.
Yeah.
But one thing that we did see, he came, there was a picture of him that came out a little while ago, yeah. And he was respectfully put on a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He put on a lot of weight. And maybe this is ignorant for me to say, but somebody who is slim, somebody who is slim doesn't usually just put on weight just like that.
I've been
no
this
reason.
Way forever.
Huh?
I'm consistent.
There you go. So if Poet goes fat now, yeah, there's a massive problem.
We need to know
something's
what's
going on. Yeah? So that was a big alarm bell for me. But he's still over there, so I don't know if it's a, you know.
But he might contractually be over there, but you can be contractually somewhere but not.
Your mind's not over there.
My mind's not there, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just like the way Future and Metro Boomin just sort of said, we don't trust you, and these are also the other people don't trust you. I even like the fact that people try to claim, yeah, that Future, they try to claim that Future tweeted Gunna's track. They try to claim that Future tweeted Gunna's track Prada with Offset, and then I don't even know how many videos they've shot, but that video looked like it got shot in a couple of hours. So he drops like that, and the first track, the first bar, I don't hang with rats, that's some new type shit. Yeah. I said, woo! He's just clearing up that nonsense about, do I chill out? We've got, nah. I'm here with Young Thug, that's my guy.
Yeah.
So I just like the fact that Future always talks through music. That.
I rate when somebody just is from out the gate. Let me just make this clear first. I can't pretend. Let me just make this clear and then I can move forward. I rate that. But anyway, I just want to divert this very quickly because EA just put something on the screen.
Whose album was that?
Party Next Door. Can I just say, I love that position.
It looks like there's a party in that door. Now you're about next door.
But it's not my... It's not like...
The door is wide open.
Yeah. It's not my like...
Why am I going next door?
You mean there's more? Right, yeah. It's not the one that I usually would say off the top because I'm a missionary specialist. But this thing here is proper though. Like it's the viewership from this angle is always amazing. Usually,
it must be so egotistical for us to say that, though, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Because we're above the situation. We're above. Yeah. We feel like we have control. Men have such an ego.
But no, 100%.
Since we're there, this is sensational.
I'm absolutely telling you what. Pull a braid.
Whoa. The little what? The one? The tat.
The what? Mm-hmm.
Yo, the this skin complexion. Saying.
And then maybe just get the two hands, put them at the back. You know, get the two hands. You understand what I'm saying for the community?
Oh, it's even got the, yo.
Where I saw the bum got bigger and a couple of stretch marks. Special place to my heart, man. It holds a special place in my heart, man.
The stretch marks on the bum cheeks.
That's the underrated part.
Oh.
Yo, man, God bless these women, man. They've done so much for humanity. You know, if God is real and Christianity is real, thank you so much for making Eve, man. Because what we're going to do, just chill out with Bear Adams. It's not my story, dad. It's not my story. This is my story. right there. Party right here.
Yeah. But anyway, let's see how this whole thing pans out anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, Party, all I'm saying is, if you're coming out with that type of album cover, it looks like you're exposing the truth, then let man know what's going on with you and Drizzy Drake, fam. Because, like, I'm always hearing Drake speak about things, and you man just move south. Do what we can done. Join the alliance. Join Future. We're waiting.
Could be too late.
It could be too late.
Depends on what he signed.
And the kidding is, I'm not even against Drake. I like Drake. I like Drake a lot. I love Drake, man. I love him all. But if I have to commit to a side.
Are you going with Future?
Brother, do you know
where
the things
are you going?
I'm going Future.
You hear what Future says?
At this point, Future.
He talks about sticking to the code, principles, all the things that he says in that project, we don't trust you, yeah? You begin to go, okay, there's Drake. Because as much as I love Drake, I was talking to my brother Jimmy Risha, Marie Beswick, we went R&B yesterday. As much as I love Drake, yeah, the reason why I always have a preference for people like Future, yeah, it's so nice to see Tony Montana and then this, because it's like an elevated version of Tony Montana. When you look at Drake, I remember like loving Drake for like Lust for Life and all of that. When I listen to Drake now, that Lust for Life and that sort of era of music he made, this is not an elevated version of that. You've gone on several different trips, which is cool, but like you don't seem to have a base. And like, if you have principles like Future, then you just stay where you are, like Kendrick Lamar, you stay where you are and grow. And the alternative is Drake. And I'm not to say I don't like it, but if we're going to have to stay one place, I'd rather stay with man staying with their principles.
I actually hear you. I hear you.
Without being disrespectful to Drake.
I really love Drake, you know. As I've said many a times, I've got so much emotional connections to his older stuff, more so than new things now. And like, I don't really, there's an element of what he's doing at the moment that's just not for me. Yeah. And I'm not mad at him for doing it. No. He wants to pivot and do whatever it is that he's doing. And I always hope that one day he goes back and just gives me what I like to have as a selfish fan, innit? If he doesn't do it, it's cool, because at least there's some stuff I can always go back to which I do go back to. But yeah, in this moment in time, when you're looking at somebody, when you're looking at an element of consistency in regards to what that person actually really does, then you would probably say, right, okay, cool. I'd see why people might lean to Future in that aspect. With Drake, it's like, you know how talented he is and the different types of things that he can do. But what you would probably find at some point with Drake is, if a wave or something changes a little bit, he will be over there doing that for a bit. and he'll execute it very well. Very well. He'll be all of these different places and whatnot, and he'll still give you elements of what we know that he's good for. Yeah. But I guess with Future, you just know, which is one of the reasons why I like Benny Butcher, for example.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? I know when I go there, that's what I'm getting when he, you know what I mean?
Because you know what, sometimes I start thinking, when I start hearing an artist for the first time, I don't know how you lot feel, and you hear them in their rawest version, like without the big collabs, without the top producers, you just want to hear what that sound sounds like with them elements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when that artist just and goes over there, I'm like, now we never even know what this story is. Like, Wagwan.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the jumpy around Drake, like from every one trend to the next, man.
Yeah,
but he. No, but as much as you say that, he gives you bangers in there, though.
It's not that he doesn't do it well, but I still, it's still just like it's not the long, like how we love his old stuff. I would still play that. Everything that he jumps to, I'm not playing it again. After that little segment's gone of like, okay, this was lit then. Same as like what Rich Baby Dad is doing now.
Yeah.
In a club. Bruv, in by 6 months, I'm never playing that song again.
Yeah, but that's the purpose of them songs that he creates. That's why I think it's still genius behind it.
But he's better than that.
But that's a genius, you know?
That's where Drake is good.
No, that's a genius,
you know?
That's obviously what's made him.
That's a genius. I think that's so sick, though.
It's cold that he can, and he's probably the only person that can do it.
That's what I was going to say.
He's the only person that can do it and has executed it. But I still don't like
it. It's not for you.
Yeah. Okay, do you know what? Okay, fair enough.
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah, because do you know what? As much as I'm arguing this, I don't play that.
Yeah.
Like if I hear it, come on, don't act like I'm gonna, this is cold.
You're like,
but
yeah, this is
at home.
I'm not playing it.
I had Self by Cleo Soul on repeat for an hour last night. My nigga, I'm not playing that. Nah, I can't play that, man. It's just.
But some of the older shit that will get run at home.
So. Yeah, and in the whip will get run.
And in the whip.
Language.
Brother.
Drake language.
Brother. Language is crazy. I listened to the Take Care album. I listened to the Take Care album yesterday. This is a crazy album, bro. Crazy. This is a crazy album. I'm vexed that him and Rick Ross ain't gonna speak no more.
I know.
Well, maybe not no more, because Rick Ross, he also likes to pivot. Him and Meek again.
Yeah.
You never know. But Future, Principles, I don't know if they're going back there again.
Mm-hmm.
And that also upsets me because I think, that Project 2015
Future comes
is,
across more of like, takes a whole load of reasoning for him to potentially
even entertain it.
With Ross, and I think there's a conversation, and maybe it's not even the conversation that them two have, but it's the conversation that OG has. Some OG could ring Ross and say to him, brother, you need to sit down and chat to my man and whatnot, and that might happen.
Yeah.
I can imagine an OG ringing Future and saying, yo, I think you might need to, I ain't doing cool,
yeah. But what OG? He's around Scooter. Who's the Scooter just gonna go, what? Wait, I ain't talking to no one, bro.
Wait, what Scooter?
Young Scooter.
Oh like, my god, yeah. I thought you was talking about Scooter Braun. I was gonna say blouse and skirt. What's going on?
No. I was gonna be like, what?
No.
Yeah,
wait.
I just don't know. I just don't see how they're not talking again, man. I really don't see. Obviously, I'm saying like I know them. I don't know them. I'm just looking at it musically and how they act. Once it touches the song for Future, I've never seen him go back. So when the Sierra situation touches the music, I've never seen him go back.
Where that was a bit different though. That's like a relationship.
But then he done it with what's the next girl that our brother over in this country saw as well?
Mm-hmm.
Laurie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How many times has he killed Laurie, killed her dad?
Yeah, but I think those ones are a little bit different because it's a relationship dynamic where they were doing whatever they were doing. This is more a friendship thing. If they were ever friends.
This is what he claims they weren't. Yeah. He claims they weren't. Smiling faces. Oh, no places. That's not even what they say, but it just sounds sick, though.
Man went Beyonce mode and countryed up the team.
That's another one that likes to pivot. Who are you now, but...
But, do you know what? On a sadder note, Jevon.
Crazy.
Bro, like, real sad news, like, hearing about his passing. And you know what is mad about seeing that? Was that weirdly, you know when you're, I don't know if you scroll, when you're scrolling on social media and you keep seeing something, but you're not really taking it in. Like, I kept seeing his face, but I just thought, like, maybe it's a project, or maybe I'm not really, like, I wasn't paying super attention to what that was, yeah, until I actually read it, and I was like, oh my God, this was really, really, really sad news to me, because this is someone as well that I've mentioned a few times on the pod before. Someone that I've like, I have a playlist called Avoiding the Noise. So this playlist is like just songs that I like to listen to personally. They're not bangers. They're not things that you're necessarily going to hear in a club. It's not none of that type of stuff. And Jevon featured in that quite a bit, yeah. And was always somebody at some point we were going to sit down and have a conversation with. So I just really, really respected him. I kind of like, you know, like someone who's like, he's quite multi-talented. He can sing quite well. Like, he raps really well. His production is proper good. He's good at telling a story. That last project that he had out, Fell in Love in Brazil, that was his last project. I had a few songs off that one there. I battered
Girl from project. Bahia is such a... Girl from Bahia, fell in love in Mama City. He's so cold, man.
Listen, man, I just wanted to just like... I felt like we needed to have a little conversation on him, and also just send like some love and energy to his family. That is probably going through quite a tricky time at the moment, man. But yeah, man.
Yeah, man, it's my dog, man. I knew him well. It's my dog. Jevon's honestly my dog. I don't know enough about the situation to be able to even understand why, you know, I'm even here having this conversation that I'm having. Because it was very, very difficult for me to take when I heard the news. Very, 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 very difficult. Just the timing of it, when it was Good Friday.
Mm.
All of it was very, very difficult. I can only imagine for the actual family, which I know one of the members pretty well, my G as well. So it's all in-house, you know, and very difficult to talk about, to be honest with you. The only thing I will say, I remember the first time I met Jev, he approached me because we spoke about a project that he was involved in. We spoke about it on the pod, and we were very honest about the project.
Mm.
And I won't go into too much detail again because I'm not trying to open up any old conversations to it's not about that, it's about Jev. And but yeah, we spoke about the project and we were honest about it, and he came and spoke to me about the conversation we had because he was a main part of the project and he was really hurt by it. And the one thing that hurt me is because maybe he came in the game so young and there was a project like that hurt him, and that's how we started off. He sort of carried that sort of it's almost like it gave him PTSD off the back of that project. He sort of carried it with him, and it's just what I'm saying is just so upsetting that someone so talented, someone so amazing, can be discouraged by situations that happen within the working force. And just the fact that, like I said, when I hear the details of what happened and how it happened, where it happened, and the timing of it, it's a very, very difficult thing to take.
It's very, very sad news, man. I don't really know too much about that, but yeah, I tell you something, that definitely did rattle me that day. It definitely rattled me that day.
Definitely. But he's super talented.
Incredibly talented.
I'm sure that they'll find a way to get the unreleased music that I've heard so much of. It is he's
been recording quite a lot.
Bro, he's got bare unreleased music with loads of people. I remember he was in a studio with Party Next Door. He flew over to LA. Doing some work with Party Next Door. Like, Jev is super talented. And Big Zoo revealed recently that, you know, he was part of the Morrisons advert.
Yeah.
Big Zoo and Jev, you know, really super tight relationship. I love the way Big Zoo's super tight relationships he has with people in real life.
Yeah.
He will find ways to incorporate in working fields, whether it's on...
He's a community guy.
Big Zoo is such a big community guy. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was... Yeah, I really love the relationship Big Zoo and Jev had, man. Do you know what I'm saying? And Jev, you know what I'm saying? He had a good community of friends around him that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Were quite very upset, you know, very, very upset by his passing, man. So one love to Jev, though.
Yeah, one love to Jev. One love to Jev, and to anyone that was genuinely like close with that guy. You know what I mean? And that is going through that. Because
shout out his other half. That's my G. She's a good person as well.
Is it as well? Yeah,
she's a good person. So one love to
her. Yeah, love and guidance to her every time, man. What's going on in the world, Poe? What's happening out? What's going on outside?
There is something that I saw, and I sent it in, and I wished you lot watched it. It was only half an hour long.
Was it the interview talk
thing? Yes, I can't remember her name, but you're gonna put it on the screen, are you? It was only 30 minutes on Trend Central. Sometimes the Trend Central interviews get taken down quickly, so you have to rush quick there.
Why?
Some of them are controversial. I like it. This was the interview with the young girl from Bristol that went viral on TikTok for talking about someone eating her batty, and someone paying apparently to yeah. eat her batty.
And she's 18.
And she's 18 years old. She went on to this. It's kind of difficult to have a conversation because you haven't seen it. But she went on to this.
I've seen clips of it, but I haven't actually seen the whole thing. I've just seen like. I've probably seen 5 minutes of it at the most, which probably isn't the best thing to do.
What's her name again?
Malachi.
No, Malachi is the name of the individual that ate a bump.
Oh, yeah, Malachi from Malachi South. From South London. Girl from TikTok. Oh,
yeah, she's from...
That's her.
She's from Bristol anyway. Honestly, I think this interview... Which is rich coming from me, because you know me. I'm crazy. But I'm crazy in front of my brethren, so I feel like I've got a black. This interview here, the interviewer lost so much composure, bro. Yeah. Like, this girl, it was her interview.
Yeah.
It was fully her interview. And do you know what? I thought that clip was just maybe a teaser, and maybe the interview was actually more controlled than that. She had, she had no... The person in control, she had no control. And the reason why she had no control, because I feel like in an interview, the moment you've said, I'm going to interview someone... You kind of have to have a bit of a neutral standpoint, unless it's like your show. So let's say, like, for example, let's go for Gasworks. Mm. Because it's built upon myself and Alhan's personalities, whatever craziness we do on it, you can get a bligh. Mm. But on something like this with Trend Central and you're doing the presenter thing, I don't believe that you should go in there, even if you have a preconceived judgment. Mm. I don't feel like she should know. And that 18-year-old girl is a bloody intelligent girl. And she clocked the vibe from early. And she subconsciously created a plan to basically cause this girl hell. And the way she does it, oh my God. Slick shit, like she'll be like, look, you're just bitter. Why? Because you're 48.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I look good for 48. You do. Yeah. You do. And she goes, oh, so what have I got to be jealous about you? My youth. Like, just the way she... She goes to her, look at you, what are you wearing? She goes, what are you wearing? She goes, oh, I've got Pretty Little Thing, and Sheen. And then the woman goes, that says it all. She goes, buy me clothing. I'm 18. Like, what do you want me to wear? But look at you, your buckle. It's not done.
She said, what are you wearing? She said, you're wearing Clarks or something. Yeah. This is something else, yeah? And then she goes, yeah, it looks nice. It's giving senior. I said no.
Oh my God.
Comedian.
Bro.
Yeah, she's
no.
From what I saw, she was.
But I don't know if she's a comedian because I don't think you can just give her the stage. Nah. You back her in a corner.
This was my analysis of this clip, which is obviously I'm only judging by a clip here, not the best thing to do. My analysis of it was, my first thought was, I don't understand why this is a whole interview. A girl was on TikTok saying that someone's going to eat her bum. I don't understand why this was a whole interview. So, this young lady now has basically said, oh, you've called me in to have a conversation about this, yeah? You want to get a rise off me in some way, shape, or form. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to make sure that I'm not looking like an idiot here. Someone's going to look like an idiot and it's not going to be me. And I'm giving it some. And she went there and she gave it more than some.
But it's not even just that. She's acceptant of her character. Yeah. She's so acceptant. And I just feel like she battled the maybe some of the insecurities she might have seen on the other individual.
Yeah.
And because she's acceptant, so you throw things at her like she's a prostitute and all of that, she was just cool about it.
Yeah. Because she said, the interviewer said, oh, so like, when are you going in? Like, she said something about her part-time prostitution. Mm-hmm. And then she responded and said, well, I might make it full-time.
Brother, yeah, I couldn't.
I need to watch this.
Brother. They said to her, oh, so what are you going to do? So they made a reference about what they're going to do now because she's popular. She goes, I wouldn't say I'm popular. She goes, I associate being popular with being liked. I don't feel like I'm liked. Okay. I said, what? This gal is not her age. She's 18. They're like, she goes, well, right now, I'm not clout chasing anymore. The clout has been... And I'm like, what? Yeah. She's like, now it's just about what I do with it. She goes, yeah. And then the girl tried to like put her down like, oh, so your music, tell us about what you're going to do with that type of thing. So let's sort of play it down. The way the girls just responded so calm, like, yeah, I didn't take it really serious. People tried to make me feel, you know, less of ourselves to do it. And now that I've got this opportunity, but the way she articulates herself, The way she's, how honest she is. Honestly, my respect built for her tenfold in that.
Yeah, because it was weird. I watched it and I genuinely thought, I don't know why, but I feel like I like this girl.
Brother, I love, why. Do you know when a man's just like, this is who I am? Yeah. What more do you want me to say? Yeah, I don't like that. Denial. So if you're in denial of something, I'm like, I don't like that. This girl's not in denial, big man. She ain't been in Egypt. She's right here.
The conversation, I believe, was wrong. And I say that because one of the things that is a bit of a sickness is that, and this is no disrespect to the interviewer or just targeted to her, but this is just my analysis of how I see people that are wanting to get into doing interviews and talking to people. It's like, there's this thirst to be in front of a camera and tell somebody indirectly that they're doing something wrong. Yep. And by, you know, getting a moment out of them.
Yeah,
so
I
want to be the one to have the tough conversation about so-and-so
and do the
moral high ground thing. And I just think that, like, that's dead to me and also to a lot of people. The conversation is, she is 18 years old and maybe she has said some outlandish stuff on the internet. I don't know. But you can actually get to know her different to understand where she's coming from a little bit, and then find a deeper conversation in and amongst it where, I don't know, it's like, it can still be an uncomfortable conversation. You don't have to agree, you know, and there might even be a moment in that conversation where there's like a little bit of healthy conflict, because this girl maybe might stand for something and the interviewer might see that as a problem to the greater good. But you're not sitting there and sunning her or little manning her or whatever, or being the person to try and get a rise out of her. I just felt like the conversation was done in a way that seemed as though they thought the best way would be to pander to the, I'm gonna, and it backfired massively.
I think the interviewer had the wrong objective, just like you're saying. Yeah. They had the complete wrong objective. The objective was, like you said, to get their moment out of this young girl. And I just think their objective should be to try and change her perspective. That would have been my objective.
Yeah, to understand, or to make her.
To understand it,
understand her, understand why she's like that, and then give her, like, if you do feel like you've got advice for her, or you see something where it's like, okay, cool, I get that, but maybe, have you thought about this?
There are alternatives, this, exactly, options.
Something like that.
That's what I think with the conversation. Yeah, that's what would have been, unfortunately. Obviously, it's on Trend Central as well. Shout out Trend Central, man.
Pick them up.
You got to get them clicks through. You got to get them moments. Yeah, and sure. I just think that person that's interviewing just needs to have maybe a couple more interviews like that, just to learn how to approach that type of interview. That girl is her, because I think that interviewer went in there being the interviewer. I don't think she communicates or operates like that 24/7.
No.
And you're going against someone that operates the way they operate. Yeah, yeah. 20, they're going to be a better
she
version
came
of
in
that.
Like that, and she left like that.
Exactly. Brother, and she's still like that right now.
Yes.
She was asleep like that. She woke up like that.
The interviewer, I saw a clip, she's on holiday right now. You're not talking like that on holiday. You're not operating like that. But if you take that gal to another country, I promise you, take her Egypt, she acts just like that. When I move, you move.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, this might be a little bit of a deep one, I literally just saw it now, but I saw people talking about it before.
What was that?
And maybe this might be a conversation that we dive deeper into a different time. But I saw this. What is your take on this? Let me see if I can get it from the beginning. 1 second.
Black kids weren't doing so well in school.
What do you mean? And this is what we did in the report, which people didn't like. We chopped up this word black or BAME or whatever you want to call it, and we said, no, you've got to look at people's specific groups. So yes, I mean, if you did carve up the numbers, there's a shrinking group now. The group that I'm from, the Caribbean group, still does poorly. But the African group is doing so well in the same schools.
Why the difference?
Well, let me tell you a number that people don't like me to suggest, but it's there in the numbers. It's to do with, a lot of it's to do with family background, religion. But for example, I would give you one number in the Caribbean context. We're running numbers like 60-70% of single parent households in that group, whereas the African group is running below 30.
Did you see that?
What was that on?
That was on LBC.
And what was that in reference to?
He's an educational consultant. His name's called Tony Swell. Black Brothers. What's CBE? What is that?
What do you mean?
What's a CBE?
It's like below MBE.
What does that stand for? Do you know? Can you get it on the screen? Reveals what numbers say about the academic performances amongst black people. And so like they ended up having a little bit of a conversation about like why Caribbean kids in particular don't do as well as African kids, and they were putting it down to parenting, like household. So like the Caribbean parenting at the moment is there's like a lot more single parents than there is with African homes. I feel like we should get somebody to come and sit and like and dig into that a little bit.
Can I give my
opinion? Because I don't know. It's hot. I mean, these people are doing the studies and stuff like that, yeah. But you see, for me, and I'm only talking from my experience and also from my community, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that, like, there are a lot of advantages of having a healthy, because I think this is really important, a healthy two-parent household. Because a lot of people are in two-parent households that are super unhealthy. Yeah. People don't talk about that. Like, sometimes that is really unhealthy for the child to be in a house and every day there's warring, dad's doing this, mum's doing that, whatever it may be. That's destructive for the kid when the kid goes outside, goes to school and does whatever, yeah? But for me, in my community and growing up, yeah, a lot of the principles in which African parents may have been with their kids was still quite the same with us. Still, you know, making sure that you were doing well in school. Like, naturally, you can't always help what happens when a child leaves the house.
At all.
You can sit and say, you know what, you need to be in at this time. You need to be at this time. You need to do your homework and you need to be good at school. You need to go to college. You need to go to university. You need to do all of these type of things. And I can go to I could go to school, I could go to college, I could go to university, and I could come home at a certain time. But when I'm outside,
it's your thing.
It's a whole different thing. But there may be in some way a disconnect. And I'm still yet to figure out exactly what that disconnect is. I'm not 100% sure that it is fully the two parent thing. I think
it plays a part, Chucky.
I'm not saying it don't.
Check it from this perspective. Surely if you start bad, you move bad.
Yeah.
So how did we start as Caribbean people in this country?
Bad.
So what do you expect today?
Yeah.
Like, and I know that they're looking at stage, if there's 10 stages to a process, they're looking at stage 8 and going, oh God, how do we repair it from here? And I'm like, well, it's a bit difficult. When the country was getting smashed up because of the Second World War or whatever, and you just told all these black people in Jamaica, done all of these wonderful videos that I see now in colour, making Jamaica look so glossy, and you know what, come over to England, we'll help you so you can carry on rebuilding the country. Like, take a look at Jamaica now, by the way, them same roads that look great. It's like, all right, cool. So I know my grandparents when they came over here, they couldn't stand each other. But guess what? They were like the only black couple in the whole neighborhood. So they have to stick with each other for years, despite the fact they don't like each other. And then they have children. And their children end up growing up in a household where it's normalized that two people don't like each other, but there's nobody else here. And guess what? Let's all just stick together regardless of this. You have to stick together. So then you go off and you replicate that same type of execution. I just think that's... So eventually someone stops the cycle, but I don't imagine it's the second generation.
No.
I imagine the third generation might stop it, but it's too late by then because you've already accumulated these fucking numbers and now you're telling me the stats on how you messed up Jamaica.
Exactly. Shout out to Chinese. I don't even think it's the third generation. Hey, that might be the title of the podcast. Shout out to Chinese. But yeah, I think... I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry, man.
But I don't even... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe it isn't going to be the third or the fourth generation because economically, the country is fucked. So that is also another problem that is going to interfere within breaking the cycle, but differently. Which leads me to another point, yeah? I haven't thought about it too deeply and I will go away and think about it properly. It's just come to me because I just saw it now. But it's like, I wonder if a part of... what has played a role in it, which might speak to what you were saying a little bit, is that like the motivations at a certain point for Caribbeans coming to the country and Africans coming to the country was felt a little bit different, right?
100.
So like my granddad told me that when he was in Kingston and there was two boats, I saw this on the podcast before, there was two boats, one going to New York, one was going to England, and there was this thing going around in the country that England needed to be built up and that they needed people. They needed people that were in trades to go over there and do X, Y, and Z. So my granddad, being a carpenter, jumped on a boat. It took him a few weeks to get to England, and he was here, and then he sent over for my grandparents or whatever. But they came to the country at a time where, yes, it was in rebuilding mode, but, you know, what he was having to go through on a day-to-day basis was just an absolute shit show, which played a part into how, you know, toxic their relationship ended up being a little bit, because there was just so much going on that they were both having to deal with outside, and they didn't even really have much of a community too much, because people were being spread out all over the place.
And there was no mental health campaigns, there was no badge nonsense happening, none of that. So now they just got to go through it and just deal with it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Windrush happens, and then you can't even be at your daughter's bloody wedding anymore, because England have now decided that Jamaican has to go back to Jamaica.
There you
now,
go.
If you're, it's an to me, it's just really crazy for you to compare both black people when they had completely different experiences.
There you go.
So that's now, like, you're comparing two situations that are not the same, but, you know, they're both black. Like, the fact that it's a conversation on radio is weird anyway. Like, this is stupidity in its finest form. I don't like the fact that in media they just try to use peak points at times to, like, almost rewire people into thinking that yesterday didn't happen. And I think this is another example of that. This shouldn't be a conversation on radio when you lot well know what you did to Jamaicans. You know what you've done to Jamaican people in this country. So how dare you even have that conversation on radio? Like, I find it disrespectful. The Windrush era, I listen to Jamaicans talk about how they can't go to their daughter's wedding, brother. They had to get shit back. What are we having this conversation for? You gave Jamaican people in England a tough experience, and what did they do? Still find their way out. Still get Raheem Sterling. Still get Chucky. Still get Slick. People still found their way out, bro. And because the way they are isn't educational purposes, it's through sport or music, you're not going to catch that in the education statistics. Why don't we take a look at the statistics of how many Jamaicans have come over here, and what part where they become successful financially, or what part were they working class, and on what part did they come out of it to be either middle or upper class? Because there's a few Jamaicans that I know are upper class, you know.
Jamaicans.
I can tell you their families when they came here were trying to rebuild the country. So why don't we take a look at those stats? Why don't we make it fair on our side? We weren't given much, my guy.
Yeah,
shout out to Jamaica, shout out to Caribbeans, man, doing their thing in this country.
And
man,
shout out to who?
The Chinese.
Right then. Right then. So anyway.
I can't believe you went back there. Shout out, you, man. Come on.
But even also, you go to Jamaica, yeah, and you see, like, the way I don't know what the schools are actually proper like, yeah, but it's like these youths look like they are in school and on a very focused thing.
Very
a lot of them.
Focused.
You know what I'm saying? In their brown uniform.
They're Jamaican.
It's like an army.
It's like an army.
Brother, some of the uniforms look wavy. If I had that uniform, I might even like it.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. They look like they enjoy school.
Did you remember your school uniform?
Yeah,
mine was just black.
Just sharp shoulder. What school did you go to? You went to Everton.
Salisbury, yeah.
He was in the hood, my brother.
I've
known Slick for years.
You go to that school as well?
No, my cousin Tyson went there though.
Yeah,
shout out Ty. You know Tyson.
Yeah. What kind of school was that?
Huh?
What kind of school was it?
The hood. Yes.
Serious.
North Slick London hood, East London hood, all mixed into one melting pot.
Slick
with the Turks and Kurds.
Yes.
Serious.
Chat to them, Slick.
It was mayhem. That school was from year 7 to year 11. Every year, it's just mayhem.
Like, what kind of vibe? What are you talking about?
Bro, I don't know. Explicit. Bro, it's mayhem.
And Edmonton alone was mayhem.
Bro, Edmonton alone, bro. It got renamed Shank Town.
What?
So when did it get... When would you say it was the worst? Was it when we were in school or the KO area in Wood Green?
The KO era was bad.
That was very bad.
That was bad. So there was a club in Wood Green called KO. It's now like a really safe, probably like Puerto Rican or Mexican club. Where
what was the name they called it after KO?
Yeah, Latina team.
What did they call it after KO? Coochie or something?
Coochie. What was worse, KO or Coochie? Oh, Lord.
But definitely worse.
Combine them both together. But that era.
It's ironic because KO was... KO.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was crazy.
It was knocked
man
out.
Man was getting knocked out there.
And it was Edmonton, Wood Green, and Tottenham sometimes in one environment, bro. The most unsafe. You DJ there?
Yeah, of course.
Have you DJed there in a kick-off?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
The man's eyes had to duck on the things, run out the door, fire exit, Everything.
Life is great. Dubai. Life is. I get it. I get it. I was wrong. Bro,
that's what I'm saying.
You see KO, yeah? Crazy. And I would feel sorry for someone like Slick DJ in there because say you walked into the venue, you walked up the staircase, there was a long staircase, right, so it wasn't on...
it was terrible.
Yeah, so it wasn't on the level of shops, it was above the shops. Above so the you've gone up the staircase now and you've walked in. To your right, there's like a small area that you can have a few people, but the main club is to your left.
Yeah.
So you turn to your left now and you've got the whole club more or less there. So you walk forward, you have the bar on your left-hand side, and then right in the back, in the left-hand corner, is the DJ.
Yes.
That means, my brother, under most circumstances, you are in problems.
Yeah. Right.
If gunshots go off, you are in problems. If a fight kicks off right in the middle, you are in problems, and the only people that can save you is who, Chucky?
The Chinese.
And they weren't
right
there.
Then. I'm telling
they
you.
They weren't there.
I'm telling you. Hey, let me tell you something. You know how I knew this place was wicked?
God.
Brother, a limo pulled up.
Oh my, you was there.
A limo pulled up.
You was there.
I was there, bro.
No way you was there.
Jumped out of the limo on smoke.
They were from T, I think.
I couldn't believe it.
It was crazy, bro. When I saw that limo.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
You was there, Chucky.
I was there.
I was next to Subway.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, I wasn't going in. We heard about
them. The man they must have hired out a limo, and they came there on violence.
Brother.
To KO.
KO was the one place I knew, because you know what?
People, a limo.
Brother. Because it was hard shoot era them times. Like, it's not like...
It
wasn't corking era where you could wear crepe and all that. It was hard shoot era. So I remember one time... The bouncers in KO, because Subway was used to open a little bit late, and you had the bagel shop that was on the corner. Bro, I've seen the bouncers open up Subway, chuck a bag of man in there, and I've walked past, I've just seen man's face on the thing, like. And I'm just looking at man behind him, just brocking him in the head. I'm like, yo. Whoa. The bouncers in KO.
But the bouncers used to, that's because they, were that, some, they got themselves in shit.
They got themselves. I've seen bouncers get kicked down the stairs. And they're
bouncers,
big.
I've seen, as before I even stepped in the club, I saw the bouncers get knocked out. I said, well.
You know what I'm
saying?
No, I don't like shit. Fam, I saw the bouncers get kicked down the stairs, and because he's all square shaped, now he's stuck. Now we are calling the AA. Like, because, hey, I'm sorry, like, nah. No, KO was definitely one of the clubs that, that's first place I've seen someone get stabbed up. First time I've seen gunshots like that. Like, all, like, in
everything
terms of everything you can imagine happened in that venue, bro.
Everything, bro.
And that's horrible. Actually, just recently I saw a clip of some youth. There was these youths were fighting on the train. You see that? And a brother started boring him with the thing.
Oh my God, I saw
and
that.
You know, these youths have survived.
What?
He survived, you know. He's in a stable condition. What did they bring? I can't believe.
Huh? But the knife was long.
But it was long, bro. And it was like, it's caught on camera.
Long like the queue for R&B, fam.
It's horrible.
Long.
It's horrible. It's happened in front of just bare people. It's bare people. They're just in the back of the thing and that. He's on top of him. They're fighting. But you can see that he's like, he's bored him a couple of times with this thing. And somehow, I'm reading this, you is in a stable condition. I'm saying to myself, listen. How this you is in a stable condition after being bored with something like that is, I can't
God's stronger. I know it's corny. The devil's strong, but God's stronger than you.
I can't even comprehend.
He's destined for good things, but it has to be.
Brother, he's here for a reason. Because honestly, where Chucky said, the guy's standing over him. Do you know what I'm saying? So the camera angle doesn't allow you, because obviously you can see the one window and then you can see the part's dark in it. So the person sat down, so you can't even see nothing apart from the shank going back and forth. And it's mad. Do you know what? London's crazy.
Yeah.
There was another story on the train that, me and a young lady was sitting down watching in bed. You know how we do, man. Come on, shout out to the community, man. Yeah. Brother, one you has doing story time has said that he's on the train and he's just seeing bare people run from one carriage to the other carriage, like to the carriage that he's in. He's like, what's the problem? He's like, yo, man, there's a madman in the carriage. Anyway, he's gone over to the train. They've all covered up some guys. They say there's a man going mad over there. Don't really know what's going on. They've covered up some guys. They're like, can we go over there? Anyway, long story short, I've gone to the back of the train. There's a man with a shank, brother. And the man, big knife, just stabbing up utes on the train. And this is on the underground.
And on the underground?
To the point where when they've gone to go and, like, say to them, like, yo, Like, so when they've gone to go and try to approach the man, remember, they're bear carriages behind, so they don't even know what they're approaching. One woman is basically saying to them, like, yo, forget about it. Yeah. Go. Just forget about it. Like, leave the brothers that are over there with my man. There's nothing you can do. And, like, when they got over there and they saw the size of him, they said, no, he was a hefty ute. Two twos. Now, when the police have come, the police have come mad. Held him up. They had to walk through the tunnels. In the London Underground. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wait, so the train stopped while my man was in there doing all
he
that?
He was going crazy. They had to... Brother.
Oh, the anxiety, bruv. Because I would be thinking to myself, just get to the next stop and open up the door so man can get out.
I'm thinking survival. Because that's not survival. That's not in my hands. I'm doing what everyone else. I'm running through this carriage.
Oh, of course.
Getting to the front. Yeah, and I'm letting that touch... Your driver.
Hey, drive the ting.
Drive this ting, bro. But it was, yeah. So London's just...
Listen, London is nuts. Obviously, as well, I know there's phone thieves everywhere. Yes. I know they're up and down the country and that. But I will tell you this, though, yeah. I feel every time I'm in London and I take my phone out, I feel like someone's kind of thiefed my phone.
Bro.
Why?
Because it's happened to me. Well, someone tried to do it to me a few years ago. But a few people have happened. More women, though, it's happened to them. This on the phone. In London. On the phone, bam. Someone on the bike... Snatch.
But you know what, yeah? I'm not saying serves you right, because it's wrong. But it's time for us to connect with grass. Sky. Trees.
I hear you loudly, bro. But...
I was in the Uber today, honestly.
That was the sky.
Trees. I'm in the Uber. Nature. Fish. It feels right. Literally, I said to the driver, let's see how long it takes for us to see someone not on their phone.
Yeah.
Big 5 minutes were there. Until we see a group of kids there, man, they're just vibing.
Yeah.
Grass, trees,
nature.
Yeah. Everybody else, adult, wonder why they're depressed. Their head's down.
No, I hear it. But you know what? Hear what I'm saying? It's mine. And if I want it in my hands, I want it in my hands, not theirs.
Chucky, imagine we felt like that about street culture. I just want to go to these ends. I don't care if they're going to kill all the man them that come from that area. Sometimes adapt to your environment.
Hey, is there anything going on? Anything else going on in the world? What's that mean?
Scribbs, you dropped today. My cousin Scribbs dropped today. He dropped Love.
What? Music?
I know.
Really?
I know. He dropped a song today and it makes me really happy because he don't want to drop.
Why?
I don't understand why he don't want to drop. These are don't understand. They're Love? My biggest motivation. You put Scribbs with a C, so Scribbs Riley's come out, and it's really hurt my heart. It's SK.
No, I put SK.
No. I'm talking to E A.
Is a song called Love?
It's called Love.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, boom.
Man like Scribbs. So Scribbs dropped Love. Please, people, go show that some love. Ironically, that's a bit.
He definitely does not look like that anymore.
I was gonna say that picture.
I promise you. He does not look like that anymore. He looks like a Rasta man that has been living in the hills somewhere in the country of Jamaica for a long time.
Yeah, but Chucky, when you disappear for a long time and you come back, mix it up. Yeah. You have a comeback like you've done a journey.
Yeah,
like done
if
you leave
for
2 years and come back, you look the same.
To me,
what have you been doing?
You're an idiot.
You're lazy.
Yeah, you got to come back looking like you've experienced something. You had an epiphany. Yeah, 100%. Go away and come back looking like you've had an epiphany.
Yeah.
Don't go back, go away and come back looking the same. Fresh trim and that.
I don't even care
same
that you
same barber
gone.
As well.
Same barber.
Dead. Dead.
Nah, man. Mix it up, man. So yeah, Scribbs has dropped something. Show that some love. What else has dropped? What else is going on?
Musically.
I'm trying to think.
Musically, I don't see anything.
Ooh.
Well, actually.
Go on.
On an R&B tip, Sinead Harnett's dropped an EP, bro. And I know... You will 100% like it, but it's for another time of the day.
Is it?
Bro, I promise you.
Is it?
It's called Burn. When you get a moment,
is it a next thing,
bro? When you get a moment, go to your street pharmacist, chill out, put that.
Is
one
that?
On. Go and put that one on.
Oh no, Sinead,
bro, go and check your street pharmacist, chill out, put that one on.
Do you know what? One thing I wanted to ask you, let me just like this. Let me make sure this thing's in my thing. All right, download. You can't download? Okay, me like it. So, what am I saying to you? Say for argument's sake, by the way. Just for argument's sake. Because what I've noticed is this year, like Kanye's number one. Oh. Future's come out. He's number one. Oh. Drake's apparently writing today because I saw a Freak Vibes Cartel t-shirt on top of a microphone. So he's doing something. This yeah, I saw that today.
Oh, I did not see that.
I saw that today. He looks like a retaliation. He's coming for war. I didn't want to include it, but you know what, Drake, I'll give you some credit. Come on. It looks like the olders are coming back and trying to take their crown. But in order for the olders to come back, them principles are more what Future's speaking about. So say for argument's sake, Drake's crown is removed for the remainder of the year. Which means that sort of let's jump from one sound to the other is not the prominent sound, and it's now more like on some, you get me, on some tribal thing. If you're over there, what's the best version of that, like the way it used to be?
Yeah.
What does music look like going forward? Say it was to happen in April. What does music look like going forward from April to December for artists within this country, or globally for that matter?
If you remove
the chasing of like the popular sound,
because there's the chasing of popular sound within, you would say, quote unquote, urban music right now, where it's not really something that we've grown up on. Yeah. We've grown up on the tribalism. Do you know what I'm saying? You have the conscious rapper over there. You have this rapper, but you still, Talib Kweli is still doing big numbers and doing his thing. Whereas now it's a particular sound is what does the numbers. Say that is removed because an individual that is the king of it, Drake, is there, like his power is dethroned. Now it's like, Kendrick, nah, this is the sound Kendrick does. Yeah. This is the sound Future does. I remember, like I said, Kanye went number one with Ty Dolla $ign. Future's going number one. If Kendrick drops and he goes number one, that's three different number ones that are completely different. Yeah. Haven't followed. What does that look like for music? Especially if we've been trained to do it the other way for a little while.
I think people revert naturally back to what will sound cool. And not necessarily what will sound popular.
So what sound do you revert back to then?
What, me personally? Yeah.
Not that you've gone anywhere, to be fair. What sound do you reckon people will revert to commercial? Because I can't really ask you because you're not of that ilk. What sound does everyone kind of revert back to in your eyes and opinion?
Maybe I'm being biased. But I think that people will revert to an element of the sound that I already listen to. If we're talking about rapping, for example, I think a lot of people will go to a lot of the artists that I check for. If you remove the noise.
Three artists from that, please.
Nux, Benjamin AD, that style there, and Jordy.
Ooh.
Jordy. That style.
Maybe
not necessarily those artists,
but that style. Okay, I like that. What do you reckon, Slip?
I get what you mean. I don't know what it's gonna sound like though, because nowadays, bro, I'm gonna lie, I've lost my faith in music.
No, don't say that, Slip. Really? No, yeah, don't say like, why. Talk about that.
With artists and just like not being like, obviously I know there's like the artists you're saying which are original, like they keep to their original.
Yeah, Benjamin AD sticks to his principles. You listen to the project, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
They keep to their original, but I feel like their man of all, like what you said, it's like Future. Their man started on that and have stayed with that.
Yes.
And I think they're going to be rewarded for it. Maybe
that's what it is, but that's what it is. I feel like when I'm trying to find something, not that I don't like listening to man that have been on their thing, but
I do like
to listen. I want to hear someone else with something else.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like that's what it is. I want to hear someone that's coming out with their own thing now, not someone that I know has been doing. Jordy's been doing his thing from time.
Exactly.
He's just doing more now.
Say no more out now.
Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like cool, but I want to hear someone else's thing. But it's like. That's where my faith has gone.
When it comes
to artists, like finding new artists that's gonna come and do something.
Because you know what's messed up? You know what's messed up? The youth experience has been messed up.
Yeah.
So the youth experience was so diverse that we all went to a different space, and then when you connected with your cousins, you had different things to share from different experiences.
100%.
Whereas I don't know what the youth. I'm obviously. Wow,
that's
right.
I don't know what the youth is through.
I see everything through TikTok, and then everyone knows everything. And I'm like, but it wasn't like that back in the day. Like when I would have linked up my cousins from East, or I linked my cousins from different parts of Tottenham, they told me, "Yo, you know my man's seeing what? Nah, you just knew new information, so your experiences were different. So then artistically, you were completely different people.
Yeah.
We're all sharing similar experiences through one device. Does that
That affects
that
art.
That definitely affects art. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That affects art. That affects the creativity.
Unless you have a lot of people within that maybe are still within the same, but they are creating differently. But I think it affects art because then everyone starts creating the same.
That's what it is. Oh,
you can't win.
Everyone's creating the same. Yeah.
It's mad. And it's just, when I take a look up, for example, I put on Above the Rim the other day.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I looked at the cast of that and I was like, that separate experience is built together to make a film. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, that means we're going to lose out on them experiences, because let's not lie. You look at Top Boy, the lead cast members are individuals from that elk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we done Top Boy in 10 years' time, do we have cast members?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm. That's literally like what I was like.
That's a great question still.
I mean,
would say...
It's gone. Crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I would like to believe that even if they weren't from that ilk, yeah, that surely we would be breeding. That might not be the right word. There might be a word for that.
That was crazy.
But yeah, we would still be like, there would be a crop of these super talented youths that were able to execute it and it feel authentic.
And that's where good acting gets involved.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's almost like, for example, might be a little bit different, but it's almost like Idris was so good in The Wire that people didn't, if you didn't know him, you wouldn't have known where he was from.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe it's that.
Acting thing, I always look at it like, more time, they just elevate the character that you are within that one chosen space. But if that one chosen space is where we all are, then it's difficult to make the Top Boy again. But if it's like the way things were back in the day, like if you saw Big Nasty on Top Boy, you expect et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. If you saw Kano on Top Boy, you expect, do you know where I'm coming from? All that. If I saw Gets on Top Boy, I know what to expect. Yeah. With the crop of artists today, especially how everyone's all friends.
But these motherfuckers ain't all friends.
Oh, of course not.
I'm telling you that now. They're just not. But yeah, anyway, it is what it is. And big them all up and shout 100. Out to the Chinese. Anyway,
come on.
Have you got howlers?
Oh my God.
Before we get to the howlers though,
do I?
Because you mentioned something in the group, which I thought was quite interesting still. Whitaker.
Yeah.
For the fight. Yeah.
Shout out Whitaker, my
brother. So big up Whitaker. Whitaker's a boxer. What's his first name again?
Ben
Whitaker, that's it.
Come on.
You might have seen him on social media or whatnot, because there's been a lot of clips of him doing the showboating boxing or whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah,
the fight just recently and whatnot, won it quite comfortably. And there's been a lot of talk about the showboating. Yeah. And this is a good conversation to have with Dan. I'll probably one day when Dan comes and sits down, we'll talk about it, yeah? But we'll take it away from boxing, because there was just the interesting part that you mentioned, yeah? Where there is the older guys within commentary that is looking at it and they see it as disrespectful. They think it's disrespectful to the sport. They think it's disrespectful to the opponent, yeah? Whereas like more of a younger demographic look at it like, if you can do it, do it. Just don't get your ass knocked out, because if you get your ass knocked out, we're going to meme you, innit? But you do your thing. If it's working, it's working. I can't remember how you phased it, but it was something like, what is right? Who is right here? Is it the older gen that are looking at it as that being a little bit disrespectful to the sport and your opponent? Because really and truly, just when you're in there, box, mate. Yeah? Fucking stop running up and down all over the place and doing all this karate shit. Go in there and bob and weave and slip, all right? But the younger lot sometimes look for a little bit more entertainment, which then also adds to ticket buys. People want to go and see you.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is about as well at the end of the day. What, how much value that you can get in within your field, especially if it's a sport where it's, you know, a one-on-one type thing or whatnot now, yeah, and people are going to go and do the pay-per-view thing. It's like, okay, how much tickets can you sell? You might have to do certain things to get to buy tickets. What's right and what is wrong? Is there a right?
Is there a wrong? It must fall under preference, because one of the relations I gave straight away was football. When you showboat in football, the players get offended. Then the commentary sometimes is a little bit like... But
again, they're old.
But they done it somewhere and someone said, this is sick. Where was that? I think depending on your environment, it depends on what the perception is. If you showboat in Brazil in football, they love you.
They love you, yeah.
You showboat League Two. Because I don't know how it's going to be appreciated. So it's a lot to do with cultural exception for how much you accept cultural differences. One thing I will say, though, is even in your chosen field of DJing, there are some DJs, like when I've seen Slick back in the day at Living Proof, he could do some mad tricks. I'm sure you lot can do some mad tricks. You don't display them all the time. But you had the capacity to do it. And if you executed it at R&B and it was like, oh my God, a moment, and it was a mad trick, there should be a level of appreciation for that skill because not everybody can do it.
Yeah.
And I just, I like Ben Whitaker's response to what the guy said on Sky Sports when he said, but it's a skill, it's an art, because I don't watch every boxer do that. But if he's had 7 fights, he's won all of them, right, and he's incorporated ways to make it more entertaining, so now he can get more people watching it. You're talking about a guy that's had, what, 7 fights, won all of them, 1.2 million followers on Instagram. Clearly something he's doing is working for him to get attention, but he's still doing his job. That's when I go, I don't think this is a problem. If you was entertaining the crowd...
If he was doing that and he's losing...
My bro, Adrian Broner.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'm like, this is a waste of time.
Then it's like, mate...
That's a good example.
Lowe. If you were doing DJing and it's like, we can't hear the song. You're going to get up. You're going to get up. Big man.
Just play. Just press play. And let the tune run.
Come on, man.
But yeah, if he's... If you're... Because he's... This one, I think... If you're saying wrong or right, I think... And I think until he's doing it and he is making a fool of himself within the sport that he's doing, he's in the right.
Yeah.
To do that.
Is it too easy as well?
What do you mean?
Like, in football terms anyway, I remember my brethren would love playing at a championship level because they would dive in and they would commit so early. So he was quick feet, boom, pass a man, no problems. He said, Poe, I went to the Prem. The man looked at me and he's almost saying, go make your best move. And he was like, that alone meant that all them tricks I'm doing at championship level, where they're giving me the opportunity to do that because of the level they're at, meant I could take all these trips and exploit them. But at a higher level, the right back's going, go on.
Go on and do it.
Go on and show me.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Yeah,
he said, Poe, I'm going to shit my pants, dog. I didn't know what, I gave it away. He said, pass it back.
But then that shows if he then was able to pivot and play a different game and execute it really well, that would also show you how good he is. It's the same with his brother.
Of course,
let me tell you something. Yeah, see with Ben, there might be a time. Yeah, this is a style that he's doing and whatnot. It's working for him. One day he might go into that ring. This time here he got hit quite a bit, but he was saying in an interview afterwards, I allowed him to hit me because I wanted to show everyone I've got a chin. You can't just bang me and I'm just going to drop on the floor.
I
respect that. One day though, he might go into that ring and someone's going to give him one hook, and it might make him think, all right, this one might not be the one for this. And you know what? If he then turns around and says, okay, this is a little bit more of a fight here. This one's a bit more difficult. And he then still manages to box his head off, but in a different way. You have to respect him even more because a man is able to, he's got a style, he's able to pivot, and he'll go in and out of it when necessary. Yeah. And if right now he's doing this and he's 7 wins in a row, I don't see a problem.
And even in that fight, if you watch it, in the first, I think, 3-4 rounds, there was bare showboating. I'm not a boxing expert, but there was bare showboating. I loved it. Then the opposition's trainer got involved. So he started arguing with the trainer.
Yeah.
Then off the back of that, he cut some of it down and was getting punched in the face. And it was almost as if to say, my guy, we can do it however you want.
Yeah.
I'm still going to win.
Yeah, I'm still going to win.
And I just said, Ben, I rate that. Yeah. I kind of rated that. Shout out Ben Whitaker. I rated that, man.
Yeah, big him up, man. And if you're ever in town, you want to sit on the couch.
Come
man,
on.
Come and sit down on the couch.
And he's 23, man. Give him time.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
23,
he actually reminds me of a cousin that I've got, that was boxing too. They look quite similar as well.
Serious?
And they have the same, I don't know what their personalities are like. I know what my cousin's personality is like. But if he actually did get through in boxing, this is exactly what he would have done.
Oh, Ben Whitaker's got a tune.
He's got a tune.
Yeah, my son brother, man. He's got a tune. On Graham Daly. It's my brother, man. Come on.
Swear down.
Yeah.
Oh, an old one.
No, a new tune. Ben Whitaker's got a new tune, innit? The boxer. Go check it out, man. You don't know as well. Yeah, man, promote that. My brothers. Promote that big him up, man. So maybe they'll do the same thing. Maybe they'll do the same thing.
Yeah, I hope it just doesn't distract them too much. But yeah. Is there any howlers? You got any howlers?
Do you know, there was one, yeah, but from weeks ago.
Go on, just, yeah, man.
It was just to do with the French Federation. Officially prohibits Ramadan. So the players, yeah, so like the player for the French, it was true, innit? It was true, bro. Like, for the French FA,
you said I need more.
Yeah. And it was the French FA officially prohibits Ramadan. None of the players are allowed to fast. Now, I just wanted to ask, I didn't want to make it too much of a howler, because to me, it's a massive howler. But I guess there's people in the Western world that might give an argument for it. So this is where I just want to ask you lot. Should you always take your principles to work? And if not, when do you leave your principles at home? Because I feel like religion is part of your principles and they've asked them to leave that at home. Is there any point at things that are your foundation, you should leave them at home?
No. I think this one in particular, no. Because
it's not.
I feel like this religion, yeah, is a way of life.
Yeah.
So if you leave that at home, you're leaving elements of your way of life at home. And I think that you're asking too much for someone to do that.
Can I ask you another question then? That's your stance, do you feel the same way?
Yeah.
Do you feel the French players should have not participated and have refused to play for their country?
I would have done that.
Yeah,
I can ask you. Yeah. So I'll ask another question.
And bearing in mind, I'm a man, I always question bare things and I say some absolutely blasphemous stuff once in a while. But let me tell you something, if I'm in that situation, if I'm them, I would 100% understand if somebody said, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that's the country, this is me being a prick, do you feel the French are asking them to compromise their religion for their own benefit outside of this?
100%. Of course, yeah. And that's the reason why they shouldn't do it. Because ultimately, that benefit is a monetary benefit. That's not a greater good benefit.
Carry on. What do you mean monetary benefit?
So somewhere down the line, someone's making money out of this thing. So for that, no. It's not a greater good benefit. If we're having a conversation about the greater good, we can unpack that.
We can unpack that.
And you can have a healthy conflict in that. Yeah. This is just a capitalist monetary type,
and you know what's crazy? The polar opposite. Obviously, I'm giving an unfair example here because there's a lot of Muslim players that play for the French national side that play in France. So I imagine that there'll be a lot more examples of people in comparison to the country I'm going to name, which is Germany. In Germany now, I think in one game, am I right in saying they kicked the ball off the field? Go break it fast.
Yeah, right then. I love that.
And it's just like they also legalised... Shout out Germany. See you soon. What? They have. So do a lot of people, but we won't go there. We won't go there. But yeah, I just find it, do you know what it is? I found it very interesting, man. Because I was like, a lot of things that I've been seeing recently is about how principles are being compromised. When I see Future, he only talks about principles. And then when I saw this, principles is crazy.
Any principle that you've got that from it doesn't harm anyone else, it's not harming anyone else either. They can't, and someone's asking you to stop doing it.
Yeah.
That's
last thing then.
No way.
Is that selling your soul?
Yes. Yeah. For that in this situation, because of what what religion means.
You are parking your way of life.
Yeah.
Because somebody told you need to do that for monetary gain.
For them.
French national players, you heard it here. Their man said, you man ain't doing the thing properly.
That just don't feel right.
Never. So all I'm saying is, if that's how you feel.
Did they?
What? I don't know.
I know they said the rule was that, but did they do that?
Big man.
Did they actually?
They said the rule was that.
Yeah.
Do you know how much things that they've done in France in comparison to Muslims where the man them have risen up and kill off youths? Like, for that to be a said thing, that's a mad issue, you know, my bro.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know this was a thing.
I saw you put it in the group and I saw what EA said,
but I didn't know that was the thing.
It got confirmed by Eurosport. When I saw it confirmed by Eurosport, that's when I was like, huh?
And then, and what, and the man them still played?
But I don't know who played, I don't know who didn't. I left so it there, at that. There might my problem's a couple, statement.
There might have been a couple that didn't play, right? Or maybe a few. Either way, you know what? Just take pulling it into isolation. Whether it is this or not, whether this actually happened or not, I'm just saying that, like, this is a principle that you don't just park off like that.
Did they say limits? This is mad.
They limit the support.
Let me why?
See. Let me just see. Soccer, the French Soccer Federation limits support for players.
They make Ramadan. It sound so nice. Limit support. Limits. Look at it so. Limits the support word. As well. Yeah, the support word is important. Yeah. Oh, how incredible. Limits
support.
English language is incredible.
I understand we might need to figure out what this means, yeah. But in my mind, however this is put, however, whatever text you put this in, yeah, when you say that you're limiting the support, you are essentially just saying, I'm not supporting.
Yeah.
And you're not so crazy.
I'm limiting support.
You profit.
What does that mean?
You profit off. A large proportion of your team is Muslim. You have profited off them. At 2018 World Cup, shit belongs to you.
Let me tell you something. If I limit support for McDonald's, yeah, I used to go McDonald's once a week and I limit support by going there once a month. Let me tell you something. Come here, mate. I'm supporting it. Because I went there that one time a month and I gave them my fucking money. By not supporting or by...
I hear you.
Like, it's just a bit weird to me.
You can't, there's no grey area in this situation.
No, you're either supporting or you're not.
Because it's a religion, it's a principle.
What is this?
I'm going to paraphrase, yeah, but they're basically saying that they can fast.
The FF... what's the FF? But...
French Football Federation.
Okay.
They can fast, but it's kind of stuff like kicking the ball out and like all that kind of stuff. It's like, they're not going to run that.
But so that's not,
wait, let me just see.
That's what you're limiting support. So I just told you about in Germany.
FFF, where it says fasting players are allowed to skip meals and
offered medical advice.
It also contends that Muslim players who choose to postpone their fasting days will have a valid excuse in the eyes of the religion
authorities.
The religious authorities.
So
yeah. Okay, I understand that. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you are. We start with how we open up the pod before, don't we?
Have you skipped any days anyway. From? Because I haven't.
Oh yeah, the.
Did you?
Let me tell you something. Yeah, see, not like even shit, that, man. Even that, like it has to be. Usually, from what I know, see, like if you are unable to fast, but then you carry it over, so you don't stop when everyone else stops. Yeah, with Ramadan, like it has to be. Something like really, really important. So let's say, for example, I think with women, when they hit their period at a certain point whatnot,
they don't
have to fast. But that is a, you know, that's a natural thing that you can't stop.
That's God's like,
do you get what I'm saying? If in regard, this is work essentially. Yeah. But anyway,
like you said, someone's making money, bro.
Someone's making a lot of money.
Do you know who?
The Chinese. Right there.
Big them up, man.
Big them up. Brother.
Big them up.
I love for coming to sit with love the man them and one of the best to buy again, bro.
Love my bro.
And I'm sure one day Poet will be out there for a few months doing his bit for the community.
My brother's over there now. Big Fen. Shout out, Big Fen. Big Fen's over there,
what's
man.
What's he doing over there?
Chilling out. Sent me a picture of him and he says, yeah, I'm just going to chill out for a little while. I see him. He's like, bro, imagine doing your work.
Is Dubai a place where you could just chill out for a little while?
Of course.
Of course.
Is it?
Yeah. Man. Great views.
Chill places.
Well, I say no more.
Dubai. But there's just no KO, no coochie. You know what I'm saying? Give me, I need that.
Jail there is real life.
Yeah, the jail there is different. You know? Real life. I'll tell you, one of my cousins.
Is it? Man, I'm free now.
One of my cousins definitely felt that. Very strongly.
Serious?
Very, very strongly. Very strongly. But you know what? He managed Dubai's to find his way out.
Dera. There's a place.
So that's
Dera.
The hood?
It's the hood.
Who's in there?
What do you mean?
What type of people is it? Is it Indian it's people that's there?
It's not the black
there?
Hood.
This is what I'm trying what to say. What type of people I've got no
is it Arabs?
It's Indian hood.
Huh?
Indian hood more.
What did it to you?
No. It's just about it's good vibes. It feels like...
Like their own smoke. Kind of.
No.
Their own type of smoke.
Yeah, their own type of smoke. But the area, the culture, the air, the shops.
Can you go around
You feel like
That's not fair. Maybe your West Green Road.
That's the West Green Road.
Nah, man.
I'm trying.
You know what I'm saying? I see dirty white Priuses. That's what I need to see.
Yeah, that's dirty white.
Is it?
Yeah,
what
of course.
Did you
say?
Dirty white
Priuses. Oh, God, I thought you said that. No. Anyway, that's crazy. Listen, thanks for listening,
that's
everyone.
That's crazy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.